Goddamn right it is.
That's right. What's going on, stunt grandkids? I was going to say galaxy, but you all hate me when I say that. It's a somewhat special edition of Stunt Granny Audio, mostly because we don't know what the fuck we're going to talk about. Eric and Dusty here. What's up, Dusty?
Hey, well, I know a few things we're going to talk about, including John Bon Jovi.
Yeah, I'm driving from Iowa City to Des Moines right now on my way to a job interview. Oops.
Oh,
and,
no.
Sorry, I was clearing my throat. And what were we talking about, Dusty?
Yeah, so Nikki Sixx and John Bon Jovi were at, like, some strip club thing or something. And the chicks are grinding on him and rubbing him up and all that kind of good shit. And John Bon Jovi is sitting there, right? Right across from Nikki, and he's, like, in this loud, obnoxious New Jersey voice, just telling jokes the entire time.
And why would you fucking tell jokes at a tip club?
Right?
What? That's the cheesiest shit I've ever heard in my life. I said, what is she going to do? Was he going to pull a quarter out from behind her ear next? for my next trick, pick a card. Pick it with your hand, though. I've got another strip club to go to next.
He gives her a dollar and then pulls four quarters out from her ears. Whoa!
He pulled the never-ending handkerchief out of her snatch.
Yeah, we were talking about how Bon Jovi was so cheesy and pussy.
Yeah, John Bon Vaudeville.
Yeah.
Yeah, we were trying to figure out where Poison fell on the spectrum of hair bands from back in the 80s and 90s.
To my mind, Motley Crue, Van Halen, and Def Leppard were the cream of the crop. They could kick anybody's ass and play the best melodies. They seriously... The best hair band had the best guitarist in music. They really did.
Oh, yeah. Eddie Van Halen, for sure. CC DeVille, even though he's fucking brain dead.
Yeah, right?
It doesn't take a rocket scientist to play him. Oh, yeah,
Don
dude.
Dokken is awesome. Mm-hmm.
For sure. Let's just clarify, though. Are we talking Van Halen, like Diamond Dave Van Halen or Van Hagar, or are you including the whole thing?
I kind of including the whole thing because the rhythm section was always the same, but
yeah, true.
I'll be damned if I don't prefer Diamond Dave, you know?
Oh, dude, he was the fucking, he had the swagger, and Sammy Hagar, I don't care how much tequila he thinks he drinks. His
right.
His contributions to Van Halen, as far as I'm concerned, were cheesy as shit.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, what was that song that, we belong in a world that must be strong?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That was like the precursor to Right Now, which was okay because at least it had Crystal Pepsi to attach itself to.
Right, right.
But that other song was like, that was the failed misstep on en route to writing like the early 90s ballad.
Right. Because Diamond Dave would have never wrote that.
Fuck no.
And how Van Halen worked back in the day was they'd come up with the music... And then Diamond Dave would come up with words to put on top of it. And he would have never wrote anything like that.
Now, are you leaving out a step where Diamond Dave goes and gets all coked up?
I forgot. He was so coked up that fucking day.
He was so hot for teacher that fucking day.
Now, I might have told this story before, but it's in Motley Crue's book. They're all partying at Motley Crue's house, right?
Yeah.
And Nikki had like a mirror on his door, right?
Uh-huh.
And Diamond Dave is sitting a few feet away from the door, and he's just doing coke to beat the band, right?
Yeah.
And Vince is pissed because he won't share any, you know? And somebody slams the door, knocking the mirror off the door, and it slams right down on Dave's head.
Okay.
Dave sells it for like 0.2 seconds, shakes it off, and goes right back to snorting coke and talking nonsense.
Nice.
He's
now, was this like some big heavy mirror that should have knocked him out, or was it like one of those flimsy like Walmart mirrors you get for $9?
It should have knocked him out.
Because basically, I just envisioned this mirror hitting him in the head, and acting like a hammer to where the $20 bill he had rolled up just, like, went straight up into his nostril, allowing him for easy hands-free rail blowing. Or the other choice, the mirror falls on the ground. He immediately transfers the coke that he's doing at that moment on the small handheld mirror to the larger wall mirror.
Yes.
Start cutting like fucking life-size lines on his fucking huge mirror.
Lines as long as he is tall. And just
Vince Neil finally gets his hands on some and makes a chalk outline out of cocaine around Stephen Leroy.
I don't know how they're not all dead, man.
Hey, them and Jake Roberts and Iron Sheik, that reminded me exactly of Iron Sheik's story about Jake asking Sheik to carry some coke over the border for him. And he only give me a little bump!
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Jesus Christ. Let's see. So, hey, for those of you who aren't in the know, Dusty and I talk pretty much every day on Gmail chat about pro wrestling.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to think of what the last few topics that we talked about were, and I know that TNA came up in conversation today, and I could see your blood boiling over the internet.
Oh, my God.
So I'm wondering if it's worth bringing up now, or if it's actually going to, by doing so, tempt the fate of you having a heart attack before the age of 30.
I know I'm going to die eventually. I don't really care at this point. Wrestling's going to fucking kill me. So.
Well, what specifically were we talking about? Did we talk about shit that happened on last night's Impact?
No, we didn't really talk about it. I mean, it was really, really bad. It was really bad.
Yeah.
It was nonsense. And,
there are a million things that can be pointed out about what was bad about it, and I give a ton of credit to Jason Powell right off the bat for his write-up on .net talking about Abyss in the ring with that piece of wood that's got all the nails in it, slamming it into that big hunk of ribs or beef or whatever it was that he brought into the ring, and Jason Powell summed it up perfectly. Well, Abyss just beat his meat on national television.
Yep.
And I guarantee you that's what that fucking adolescent Vince Russo was thinking when he wrote that.
Mm-hmm.
And then you follow that up with, and I don't know if this is for sure or not, or if this is speculation on Powell's part, but this board with the nail in it is called Janice. And I think it was Powell, anyway, who said that that's Dixie Carter's mom's name.
Yes, yes. Just like Salinas is actually her husband's last name.
Oh, my God, really?
Yeah. So they named Ariel after her husband's last name. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, I understand that this happens all the time in pro wrestling. Santino Marella is a takeoff of Robert Morella, which is Gorilla Monsoon. What the fuck was his name? Khosrow Daivari. You know, Khosrow is the Iron Sheik's first name. And they do it all the time. Yeah, Virgil was named Virgil because of Dusty Rhodes. So sometimes it's done out of spite. Sometimes it's done out of complete egotism.
Mm-hmm.
But we have a theory, and I don't know if we can actually say it out loud lest we be sued by the parties involved, but we have a theory as to what's going on between Vince Russo and Dixie Carter here.
Well, to quote Jim Cornette, I hope he's listening. I hope he does sue my ass and suck my dick while he's at it.
Jim Cornette is a fucking national treasure.
No, I'm a conspiracy theory guy anyway.
Uh-huh.
But every time Jim Cornette goes after him, and it's been two or three times now, because there was the congratulations on getting shit canned from WCW one, and then there might have been one in between, and then there was the most recent one, fuck you for getting me shit canned from TNA one, right?
Yeah. Yep.
And every time Cornette goes off on Russo, Russo immediately plays the wife and kids card.
Uh-huh.
Right?
Yep,
oh, he went
now,
after
literally.
My wife and kids.
Yep.
No, he didn't. He went after you. So that leads me to believe that there's some kind of psychological projecting thing going on with Vince Russo. and he actually is having problems with his wife and kids on his own behalf.
Okay.
Subsequently, Dixie Carter has said, despite Cornette telling her and Jarrett telling her and Dutch Mantel telling her and probably every wrestler on the payroll telling her, hey, this guy's nonsense, we got to get rid of him, she has said that he's the one guy they will never get rid of.
Yeah.
One plus one equals their fucking.
I think that's a fathomable theory. I really do. And it's gross. Like, what did I say? Something like the Southern Belle teams up with the hard-hearted Yankee. It's like a total fucking Hollywood movie that I'm sure that she wants to live vicariously, you know.
Yep.
Seriously, it's like fucking, I don't know, Julia Roberts and Cody Deaner, I don't know.
Oh, my God.
Julia Roberts and Matthew McConaughey in fucking white trash are us. Yeah, the fact that he's, like, the most protected person on the entire payroll, and he's the biggest fucking cancer that company has.
Yes, he is.
There's shenanigans, for sure.
Yes.
And part of it, if he's having problems at home, maybe he's doing the things that she wants him to do booking-wise because there's something going on at home and he feels like listening to a woman, which is funny because it's also been speculated that he must have really gotten burned by a chick at some point in his life because 90% of his booking is surrounded by showing up women, making them look bad. insinuating that they've been abused, insinuating that they're bitches. I mean, Christ, how many times do you hear Abyss use the word bitch in a promo?
Right.
The Beautiful People and Angelina Love used the word bitch at least 3 times in their promo last night.
Yeah, it was like that last episode of Baggage I watched. Are you familiar with that show?
You were telling me about this show. Tell everybody else who's never heard about it.
It's hosted by Jerry Springer. That's why I watch it.
Yeah.
I have never had a combination of total respect and complete lack of respect for somebody like I do with Jerry Springer.
Uh-huh.
The guy is amazing. So I'm watching the show because it's Jerry Springer. Now, uh-huh. The concept of the show is that there's a guy with baggage. He has a secret about him that is bad. But you don't get to know that part until the end. Now, the guy has to choose between 3 girls. Each girl reveals 3 secrets about themselves. And each step of the way, he can eliminate one of the girls based on their baggage. Oh, you have too much baggage for me. You're out. You know?
Yes.
So, the last episode I watched yesterday, the guy got rid of the best of the 3 chicks. Of course. Right?
Uh-huh.
The one I would have chosen gets her first. So now the other 2 chicks, one of them is this tree-hugging hippie girl,
uh-huh.
just a complete space cadet, she pees in the shower, and I can't remember her other secret, but it was pretty stupid. And then the other chick was this stuck-up snub who wants her boyfriends to wait on her hand and foot.
Is she hot, though?
No, not enough to justify it.
Okay.
And they're just going back and forth. It was like an episode of some reality show, you know. Oh, do you really want to date this flighty space cadet? Oh, you know, she's going to make you her slave. You don't want her, back and forth, you know.
Uh-huh, yeah.
And so that's what watching Vince Russo's booking of women is like. It's just some... reality television show, you know?
Yeah. Well, I mean, Chelsea. Look at fucking Chelsea and the lack of character that she has. And she's like, she's the focal point of the Desmond Wolfe thing up until about 9:45 last night.
Right.
We don't know anything about her.
She's also thankful that they don't test her for heroin use. Oops!
Yeah. No, shit. She looks about as fucking strung out of a kid. She just stands there with that stupid look on her face. She's just a hot broad somebody hired. Like, I don't know if she's got any wrestling background whatsoever, which is no worse than John Laurinaitis flipping through lingerie catalogs to pick his next diva.
Yeah, fuck him.
But, so she stands at ringside looking fucking slack-jawed and doe-eyed and stupid. And we're supposed to care that Desmond Wolfe doesn't like her. We don't fucking like her either. That makes Desmond Wolfe a baby face in my book.
Yes.
And then Brutus Magnus on commentary last night, who's buddy-buddy with Taz, who's supposed to be a pretty straight-color commentator.
Mm-hmm.
But Brutus Magnus might be a heel, and he acts like he wants to flirt with Chelsea. He's like, oh, look at what's wrong with Chelsea. What's wrong with Chelsea? I should find out what's wrong with Chelsea. Who the fuck cares?
Go!
And
go find
cares.
Out then!
Yeah, get up off the fucking chair at ringside, yeah, and go after. But we'll probably see it next week on the Hervey cam, but she'll probably have a black eye because Vince Russo's a nut for black eye. He loves giving girls black eyes or making them wear sunglasses. He did it with Beaver Cleavage. He did it with Sable.
Yep.
I don't know who else he's done it with, but he always has to give a fucking woman a black eye.
Well, Terry didn't have a black eye, but she had a miscarriage, so that's the other thing.
There you go. Yeah, what a fucking sadist and masochist. Sadist?
Yeah.
Just any, and it's not like Russo or Cornette hasn't said it a million times, but how many fucking things can Vince Russo book that won't sell one goddamn ticket?
Right.
Especially for a company that needs to sell some goddamn tickets.
They don't charge people to come to their shows, right?
Yeah, and they hold those shows every other week, so they need those ticket sales.
But yet they expect you to pay for their pay-per-views.
We need to talk about that right now.
Come on!
What was the, so the latest numbers that came out, I was listening to, I think it was Wade and Powell on a PW Torch live cast.
Okay.
And they said something about getting more than 17,000 buys would be a record. Like, I think they were hoping for something like 40,000 out of Hard Justice coming up because it's going to be an ECW reunion, and they're hoping to piggyback off of the ECW reunion that happened fucking 5 years ago that blew up a big buy rate for WWE. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So they're looking for possibly almost three times the buy rate of their record buy rate ever.
Yes.
Which is 17,000.
Right.
Now, I think it was Jeremy First who told me that he read somewhere that the last TNA pay-per-view had pulled in less than 10,000. And then you had a much more specific number than that.
Yeah, a little birdie told me. I don't know if it's accurate or not. It might not be. Mm-hmm. But a little birdie told me, think 5,000.
Wow.
5 to 6.
5 to 6,000 buys. And you said that was for the May and June pay-per-view?
As far as I know, for the most recent one, yeah.
Okay. At least the most recent ones that have been reported, between 5 to 6,000 buys.
Right.
That's fucking embarrassing.
Yes.
How,
that's exactly why they won't tell you.
Yeah.
That's what they're getting.
We'll never, unless somebody leaks it to Meltzer, we're never going to get pay-per-view buy numbers from this company.
Right.
How do you justify, where do you start? I mean, Dixie Carter held a meeting and told all the wrestlers they need to start working tighter.
Tighten up now! Oh, let's do the tighten up. Tighten up on those drums now.
How do you justify, and I'll keep mentioning things from other shit that I've been listening to lately. There's another Wade and Powell. It might have been the same PW Torch live cast.
Okay.
The possibility that TNA is giving away big matches on television, which I said in the last audio, as far as I'm concerned, that company right now, there's no such thing as giving anything away because nobody gives a shit about it.
Right.
Like, you could fucking give away Tickle Me Elmo 10 years ago and the world would go apeshit because they're being given away.
Right.
You couldn't give herpes to a teenage slut right now. Like, that doesn't matter. That's not giving anything away. The fucking product doesn't matter at all. So they're not giving anything away. But they speculated that maybe Spike TV is giving orders from off high.
Yeah.
That TNA needs to give away big matches in order to pop big ratings.
Right.
Which isn't
working. We all know how well hot-shotting works.
Oh, yeah. Oh, fuck. Well, we see how well it's working now. They've climbed from a 1-0 to a 1-1.
Whoa.
So, in other words, they're back to their original audience from before when they moved to Mondays.
Right. Right. They've only just now managed to erase the damage they did by thinking they were competition.
Yeah. Oh, my God. The Hulk Hogan stamp of approval. I'm sure it's working for Rent-A-Center really well, too.
Yeah.
Okay. So I guess I don't know how to culminate this into one big question, so maybe it's just the topic of conversation for the rest of the next few minutes. TNA, no one's buying their pay-per-views, and I'm assuming most people don't want it because they either – I shouldn't assume. Most people probably don't even know the fucking company exists. Then the next group of people don't care enough to spend $35 or whatever. And then part of those people is probably because the matches aren't important enough. They're not pay-per-view quality matches.
Right.
Do you tend to agree with that, A? B, is there a cure for that if, C, Spike TV really is ordering big matches on CTV? And then D, is there a remedy for that? And I personally think a remedy is make every show huge. And then promote the shit out of it. Because last night before I tuned in, I didn't know that two former Knockout tag team champions would be wrestling in a street fight. I didn't know that the X Division champion would wrestle his number one contender in a non-title match, but an I Quit match.
Right.
These could be pay-per-view quality matches. I say book like a six-match card. Make it look like you're booking a card and not just a TV show. And promote the shit out of it. Send out press releases. Make fucking .NET and PW Torch run this card like it's important.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, do you think those are factors in the poor pay-per-view numbers, and is there any quick fix to it?
Well, once again, let's go back to Cornette. He'd sit there in the booking meetings and, what are we going to do to draw money this month? You know? And it'd be September. And he'd be like, nothing, Jim, but if we start now, we can draw money in January. So what you have to do is come up with a great card, like you said, for a few months down the road and build towards it.
Yep.
That is the only way. This hot-shotting stuff doesn't work.
No.
And in the meantime, it burns out any potential big match you have.
Yep.
So that nothing means anything now or later.
Well, okay. Here's a thought. Just to interject. Here's a thought. They have at least five championships in TNA. The world title, X Division, tag title, global title, knockout title.
Yeah.
Five belts. And they might have a sixth one if the knockout tag belts are still around. I don't know if they are.
I have no clue, but they were on the website recently. So
every week, if you're being ordered to make Impact big every week, book six matches every week, and the headline match is the title match, and rotate those five titles.
Yeah.
So you're only defending one title every week. Don't even put the other champions on TV. Maybe get one of them in an interview segment. And that's another thing. You get somebody like Kevin Nash coming out. They're like, okay, we got to have Nash come out, and we got to have him cut a promo. How do we do it? Oh, I know. We have him come out and completely fucking decimate Brian Kendrick, who just won a match and is going to contend for the X Division title again. No.
Right.
You find a wrestler to be Roddy Piper and host Piper's Pit, and you schedule Kevin Nash to come out for a promo, and you advertise it the week before.
Correct.
So book six matches. One of them is a title match.
Right. And then the other champion shouldn't be anywhere near the fucking ring.
Not at all. And if they are, only one of them in an interview segment.
Interview,
you book an interview segment like Piper's Pit, so you have six matches and one interview, and you promote the shit out of it for a week. You make it important.
Yeah.
You help me realize on Wednesday night that I'm going to see Doug Williams and Brian Kendrick, not fucking 30 seconds before they enter the ring.
Yeah, yeah. It gives me severe heartburn when they announce matches when the show starts. And it gives me a fucking heart attack when they announce matches during the show. What the hell were they going to air if that match hadn't been booked? You know?
Yeah.
It doesn't logically make any sense.
Yeah, actually, that's a good point. Think about this. If two people are arguing in the middle of a show, like say like 15 minutes into the show, two people get into an argument. 15 minutes after that, Mike Tenay is like, well, so-and-so is going to wrestle so-and-so later tonight. Well, how the fuck are you going to reformat the show that quickly?
Right.
You have something to cut? You have time to squeeze out? Are you going to run over 15 minutes?
Were you just going to run dead air for 15 minutes? What the hell? What happened?
Right.
That should
like,
be next
Yeah, you don't turn over to TNT and see the Bulls versus the Cavaliers. And then at halftime, all of a sudden the fucking Lakers and Celtics show up.
Well, we were in the neighborhood, might as well play a 15-minute pickup game.
It's fucking completely unbelievable.
Right.
Oh, fuck. And
my other favorite, is when somebody will win a match by pinning somebody who wasn't in the match originally.
Oh, my God.
Like, what if the 49ers were playing the Bengals in the Super Bowl and Joe Montana throws a touchdown over the Packers to win the game, you know?
Yeah.
That's exactly what it is. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, it is. Oh, my God. And I know sometimes people agree with the sports analogy, sometimes people don't. These are less sports analogies and more fucking logical analogies, like thinking logically about the product you're presenting.
Yeah.
I mean, you're watching, okay, if you're watching CBS and you're watching How I Met Your Mother.
Right.
You don't expect fucking Bart Simpson to come walking across the screen.
Right.
So don't throw swerves and shit like that in there when it's not logical.
It just makes people go, huh?
And here's something else. Let's just take another thing from Impact that started a couple weeks ago and we thought maybe could have culminated at the pay-per-view. Beer Money versus the Motor City Machine Guns, vacant tag team title. They did the double pin at the pay-per-view, so everyone would be like, oh, no, we're going to get screwed. 2 minutes later, oh, well, then Brian Hebner and Earl Hebner, the fucking worst referee ever and his offspring.
Yep.
They don't really argue, but Earl Hebner decides the match is going to continue. Motor City Machine Guns win the belt. The idea is everyone in the impact zone is supposed to be relieved. With no setup, no build-up, no promos from fucking four of your best promo guys in your company.
Right.
All of a sudden, these two tag teams are going to wrestle a best-of-five series. The first match being a ladder match, which is huge.
Yeah.
And not only that, Earl Hebner gets beer sprayed in his eyes, so he doesn't see who's supposed to win anyway, and then calls it for the heel.
Right.
So it's a fucking swerve on top of a swerve, and it's going to end up being an angle for the referee.
Right. Yep.
This is the clown shoes shit that we are dealing with on TNA.
Here, one more example.
Yeah.
This is how they've booked this. Week one, Ric Flair announces that he's starting a group called Fortune.
Yeah.
And it's going to include some combination of Desmond Wolfe, AJ Styles, Beer Money, and Kazarian.
Yep.
Week two, Ric Flair has an idea to start a group. Week three, maybe Kazarian will be in that group.
Uh-huh.
Right?
Yep.
It was completely backwards.
Yeah. And then everybody that he's recruiting ends up losing on Impact.
Yeah.
As he recruits them. Right now, Beer Money is an afterthought because they're sucked up in this angle with Motor City Machine Gun.
Right.
And then last night, Ric Flair cut the backstage promo. For those of you watching TNA Impact, you're about to witness history in the making because I'm going to announce the formation of Fortune. I'm pretty sure Dusty just told us that he did that 2 weeks in a row, like 5 weeks ago.
Yes, he did.
Not to mention, so he brings out AJ and Kazarian and talks them up after having lost on Impact, but thankfully won at the pay-per-view. And who's the next person to come out but Desmond Wolfe, who had just lost a match earlier on the fucking show.
Yep.
Insisting that he commands a spot in Fortune. You just lost.
Mm-hmm.
I'm baffled. I'm fucking completely frazzled. And I even liked the show 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago now.
Right.
The week after that, I didn't see it. This week, just all these miserable little fucking things. Nobody watches Explosion, and yet that's where all the Taylor Wilde, Sarita stuff is going on. Are they bringing it to us on Impact in the hopes that we'll watch Explosion? I'm not going to go seek out Explosion because of what Taylor Wilde and Sarita are doing.
Never. Not in a million years.
No.
And I think Rita's hotter than the desert sun, but I'm not going to seek her out, you know?
Oh, Jesus, I'd fucking lick every square inch of Taylor Wilde, even though she's so small, there's only about 7 square inches of her.
Right! She felt
but I don't give a shit.
The sweet, sweet strawberries. But...
she could smell like a fucking huckleberry for all I care. I don't know what that even means.
Tremendous.
Well, I don't want to actually like talk in detail about Impact. I just kind of wanted to rant and rave a little bit about it, about TNA in general. I mean,
but they don't understand. Here's the main point. They don't understand that what they're doing is wrong.
Nope.
They don't have an earthly idea of the things we just talked about. You know?
No, nope, not at all. They're so blind to this whole thing. Think about this. I think I said this to you. Al Snow comes out as a part of the new Extreme faction.
Right.
And he starts beating up TNA wrestlers.
Right.
So here's a guy who should be in on what's going on. They even acknowledge that he's management. He's an agent, that he's backstage.
Mm-hmm.
Dixie Carter comes over the rail, grabs a microphone, and yells, "Stop, stop. I invited them. I invited them."
Right.
Al Snow turns and looks at Dixie and goes, "What?" All
right.
Incredulous, like, you are a part of fucking management. You sh- what? How can? I mean, was he just acting just for the sake of acting?
Right.
Did he not think that the camera was going to be on? They fucking caught a management's reaction to management announcing that management invited ECW wrestlers to TNA, as a former ECW guy is beating up TNA wrestlers. And he still reacts like he doesn't know what the fuck is going on.
Mm-hmm. No,
so that happened.
Now, let's revisit history for a second, okay?
Okay, yes.
When Raven started in WCW, he sat in the crowd. What is he doing here? He's not one of our wrestlers. Oh, yes. He has Steven Richards with him, and Richards is trying to get him a contract. Oh, if he wins this match, he'll have a contract. Right?
Yes.
He wasn't invited by anybody.
Yes.
John Hall and Kevin Nash weren't invited by anybody.
That's right.
They just showed up someday, you know?
Yep.
So how can they be invading if they were invited?
Right, yeah.
What
and
the
I just,
fuck?
It's so bad. I want to see, though, I do want to see next week's Impact where Tommy Dreamer starts crying in the middle of the ring while he's talking to Dixie. Mostly because I want to see him cry. But secondly, because I really hope they shed some light on this. Because this is not an invasion angle. Not by any stretch of the fucking imagination.
Not
Don't fool yourself.
Not even close.
No.
And how they're booking
Lord.
It is not acceptable in any way. It doesn't make any sense, and it's nonsense.
Yep, absolutely.
And so is Alex Snow, so is Dixie Carter.
Let's see. I'm almost to my totally not job interview. Is there anything else we need to talk about before
I mean,
it's
not at all a job interview. You're just visiting some friends.
Yeah, they happen to be in a building where there's a job opening in my field.
Right.
But
yeah. That subject might come up in the conversation, but
right.
Whatever.
And they might offer me more money and more vacation time than the place that I'm working right now. I don't know. That could happen.
Anything can happen.
That's right. Oh Lord. Let's see. What else is going on though quickly? Let's see, you and Ultra Sasheed and Mean Gene and MG Wood are still up to no good in the, fill me in here, make sure I'm getting it right.
No, our fantasy booking project, we just finished the draft a few days ago, and I'm going to start posting my shows this weekend.
Excellent.
We got our tournament bracket all figured out, me and my mystery booker.
You're a Ken Mantell or you're John
Mantell,
what's
going on? The Ken Mantell, the Jim Ross to my Bill Watts. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So,
Which, by the way,
going to be excitement. Sasheed is going to do a show. He just announced the name of it. It's Fighting Spirit. That's a cool name.
I love that name.
So hopefully he posts some of his shows coming up soon. It's going to be fun. It's a neat idea.
Indeed. So if you're a regular StuntGranny.com visitor, regular audio listener, make sure you go to StuntGranny.com. Click on the tab up at the top of the page for the SG Forum. Scroll down past the picture of the shirtless kid playing the guitar and making the little piggy face, and click on the link to the forum. I love the fact Jeremy said, that picture kills me every time, so I'm glad I found that picture. I think I Googled white trash party, and that's what came up.
See, I would have put money on the fact that Jeremy posted that.
Oh,
that
no,
okay.
I'm the lucky one who found that picture.
Okay.
Let's see. Also, check in on my blog about visiting the Dan Gable International Wrestling Institute and Museum Hall of Fame inductions this past weekend. It took me a few days to put it up, but as fun as it is, it's also kind of draining to do that all weekend. So it was really kind of hard for me to get the motivation back up to write as much as I did all in one shot.
Yep.
But
very,
a good time
very cool story about Paul Vachon in there. I like that.
Yes, Paul Vachon. I talked to him. I talked to Danny Hodge. And I even got a mention on, well, I posted something on JR's Q&A on his barbecue website. And it turned into, he actually responded to it. So that was kind of cool.
Yeah, that's neat.
Let's see. Otherwise, there's always news to check out. Well, whatever. I don't know if you want to actually consider it news or not by the time we post it. But, snarky bullshit on our website. So make sure you check it out.
Absolutely. We put a lot of work into it. It's a fun little gig we got. So.
It is really fun, actually. Something like, I don't really know why, but at some point or other, we all just kind of go in and out of phases of posting. We'll go days at a time. Sometimes we'll go weeks at a time. Life catches up with us, time, whatever.
Interest, right?
Interest in pro wrestling, yeah. No,
it's hard to stay interested, yep.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't know, I'm lucky that it's not the busy season where I work right now, and I get to pretty much hang out on the internet all day. I'm having a blast writing for the site, so I hope everyone's having as much fun reading our stuff as I'm having writing it.
Hey, well, we're plugging stuff. Your band got anything going on?
We got a couple shows this weekend in the Des Moines area. Next weekend. We're playing in Des Moines Thursday and Saturday, which is strange, but when you're a band of our size, you got to get as much exposure as you can. We're also playing an acoustic set in Omaha, Nebraska on Saturday at a place called the Barfly. So I know some people out there that watch wrestling are from the Omaha area. go to MySpace. I know MySpace is deader than Julius Caesar, but go to myspace.com/holdforswank. Find information about Barfly and come see us play if you're over 21, that is.
Excellent.
And somebody that I thought their name looked familiar from one of the many wrestling sites that we're all a part of just ordered our CD online. I don't know, sample it. We have samples on iTunes, for crying out loud, or CD Baby or a million other places. So go sample Hold for Swank's record.
Yeah. If you listen to it, you'll like it. Good music.
Thank you.
Yes.
And it's all in poor taste.
It is. Which
and
is
this person is not going to let me over. Let's see. I can't think of too much else to plug other than I always, always like to get in a plug for thefullpint.com. Jesus, time out. I think I had to turn down a one-way street the wrong way.
Oh, shit.
Oh, well, whatever. Yep, here we go. Did I just swear? Did I just say, oh, shit?
How dare you do that on the air?
No, because it must have been serious. Oh, my God. I never freak out like that when I drive the wrong way down a one-way street, but I happen to be in Des Moines, Iowa, and it's 3:13, so technically it's rush hour because all these assholes are leaving work early.
Right.
Normally I'd have a much cooler head about driving the wrong way down a one-way street, but not today.
Well, is Des Moines like a big college town?
No, there is a private university here, but it's definitely not a college town. It's just like big city living.
I know, like Oshkosh. Oshkosh is a big college town in Wisconsin, and it's like there's one-way roads everywhere, you know?
Yeah.
You can get lost
yeah.
very easily.
Yeah. No, there definitely are in Des Moines, too. Tons of one-way streets. I've gotten to the point where I can navigate them. I just wasn't paying attention.
Well, I just pulled up to the place where I'm totally not going to have a job interview, so I'm going to go ahead and sign off, and, yeah, wish me luck, everybody.
All right. Well, for Eric Nelson and his non-job interview, and for I-80, which connects Omaha, Nebraska, and Illinois, and might come in handy later on in my life, more on that to come, this is Dusty Giebink. This has been the Stunt Grindy Audio, and we'll try to do better the next time.